Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just want to give you all the glory, Lord. Freely you gave it all for us. Lord, we cannot express, Lord, we cannot summon up, Lord, the words or the emotions or the... Lord, we can't get to the bottom of it. We can't get to the top of it, Lord. We can't get round it, Lord. Your love for us is just so incredible. You gave it all for us, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you'll humble our hearts this morning, Father, and speak to us, Lord. Speak to each of us, Lord. Change us, Lord, from one degree of glory to the next. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I hope you can hear me, and everyone out there can hear me, and on the Zoom as well. So welcome. It's great to see. I was able to see people on the Zoom, which is lovely. And it's weird being on the Zoom with a mask on, so I noticed that. And I don't know what it was, but for some reason, as soon as Amy started playing, I started singing, and then I realized, oops, I shouldn't be singing. So I think I'm confused. I'm between two worlds, the Zoom world where you can sing and currently where we can't sing. So I think I want to reword slightly what I had as the title for today, which is what's going to be aims and vision, but I think I'm focusing more on vision and values. So is the topic, and this is going to be a bit kind of a bit here and a bit there. It's nothing complete as yet in terms of a vision for Kingsgate Church. It's just some things that are important to us, and then some discussion that we've had at leadership and trustees about where we go forward from here. The first scripture is from Matthew 23, and this isn't going to be a heavy scriptural talk today, unlike normal or unlike sometimes. But Matthew 23:23, Jesus says this to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And it's lovely to point the finger, isn't it, and say, yes, those terrible scribes and Pharisees. And of course, are we the ones Jesus is saying woe to? He says, "You pay tithe of mint and anise," and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, anise and cumin, or cumin, "and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So justice, mercy and faithfulness, you know, those are so important. And one of the values that we have as a church is body ministry or open ministry. It's just a chance for all of us to share. I know this isn't an open ministry meeting, but even in this sort of meeting, we like to leave space where possible. Obviously, it's a bit different today because it's our first one back. But we like to leave space for people to bring a word. And I think one of the great things about open ministry or body ministry is that it brings balance. So where some people might get too focused on one thing here or on another thing here, open ministry brings balance. You know, you get someone coming up and talking about their holiday and bringing out something. Then someone else comes up and, you know, John France comes up and brings a deep teaching on the second advent, you know. And then someone else comes up and they're talking about their haircut, you know. And in all of it, we find a balance and we find that God speaks to each of us, you know. And more seriously than that, we can get all hung up on how the devil's attacking me and he's getting me down and there's no way that I can live this Christian life. It's too difficult. And we can look at everything that's coming against us and get too hung up on that. Or the opposite extreme, we can say, well, I'm victorious. I've won the victory in Jesus. Nothing's going to touch me at all. Sickness, nothing. I don't care what's going on with me, you know, or what's going on with you. Okay, you should just all be living in the victory. Yeah, absolutely. And either of those ways, someone's going to struggle with that. But with open ministry, we can get a balance. You know, by the end of a meeting, if one thing's come out and it's been won too much the other way, someone else comes out and brings us back so that we keep in the center and we keep focused on the important things, like Jesus says, justice, mercy, faithfulness. Do you know, I haven't started my timer. I just realized I always forget to do that. So yeah, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when someone's sharing, what they're saying to us might actually think, oh, don't like that, don't like that, that's a bit close to home, could actually be the Holy Spirit cutting away at us, away at our soulishness, away at our preferences, and gently leading us more towards him. But it might actually not be that. It might be that that word isn't for you. And so one of the brilliant things, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament is 1 John 2:27, which is a fabulous verse if you haven't come across this. And I do recommend the book of 1 John, but it's quite kind of over one way, if you know what I mean. 1 John 2:27 says, the anointing which you've received in him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, which is quite radical, isn't it? But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and if we've received, and when you did that, by the way, you received the Holy Spirit as well, okay, because he comes and lives inside us, then we have something inside us that can check out what anyone says, all right? And the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And if someone comes up and says something, you think, oh, I'm not sure about that. I don't feel very settled in my spirit about that. What you can do is just say, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do with that. Do I just ignore that? Am I supposed to be applying that? Am I living something wrong in my life? And do I need to get it changed? Is that word for me now? And you can have that conversation with God, and he can help us to weigh things up and to bring them into the right place. So I just really wanted to share this about balance, because it's so important to be balanced. And one of the refreshing things recently, as I've been listening to Roger Price's Fellowship Life Studies, is that they're so balanced. You know, he often presents one extreme and then the other extreme, and then he shows us how to go down the middle and get some balance and health in our Christian lives. You know, by the end of a meeting, you should not be walking out of that meeting feeling crushed and a failure and hopeless, you know? And if you are, please don't. Please pray to God and ask him to show you, and pray with someone else if you need to, you know, as well, to say, you know, I'm having difficulty hearing that word. I couldn't cope with that. What do I need to do about that? Or afterwards, give someone a ring. Get in touch with someone. But even before then, the first thing to do is to speak to the Lord yourself and to ask him to show you. So that is a really, really important value for us as a church. Just to say that it can also be the case with a talk as well. So you might hear a talk and you think, oh, that was a bit of a heavy talk, that bit of a difficult talk. And what are you supposed to do with it? You know, and sometimes it's too easy just to let it wash over you and think, well, I'll just ignore that one. That wasn't for me. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. What's the point of that? You know, he wants us to engage and to hear from him what he's saying to us. You know, and certainly as someone, anyone who does talks will know, sometimes you come away thinking, oh, I think I was a bit harsh there, or I think I hit the wrong note. But that's often what a leader of the meeting is for. They come up at the end and then they might just steer it a little bit and just add to it. Or then someone might come up and bring a prophetic word. And it's the openness of the ministry that really helps us to all grow, which is what we're called to do, to grow in him and to flourish. So that's the first value. And now, just to kind of update you a little bit, we as the Leadership and Trustees have started doing something called prophetic planning. Sounds good, doesn't it? Prophetic planning. And I think there were a couple of demurrals, a couple of mutterings as we started this. But it is always helpful. There's a guy called Mark Ryan, who's the pastor of Birmingham City Church, within Elim, who's written this kind of booklet to help all churches who want to just think about, okay, so lockdown's happened. We've never had lockdown before. How are we going to navigate this? How are we going to change? And the world's changed. So are we going to come back to normal meetings as before, or are we going to change things? And so we've started that process off with Leadership and Trustees. And thank you for all of you who've shared words and pictures and things you've heard from the Lord. Please do keep bringing those. If you, when I asked a couple of months ago now, if you had a word and then you haven't brought it, please, you know, dig it out and share it, because we're just wanting to hear from the Lord on this. I think since John stepped down a few years ago, and since we've been a new leadership team, we've several times revisited vision and values, kicked it around a bit, and come to no conclusions, really. So I feel that now that we've hit 50 years as a church, and we're coming out of COVID, I feel that there's a new sense of what we are being called to do now. I think it's clearer to see what God's calling us to. I felt yesterday that we've got quite a lot of Calebs here who are still eager to come into their inheritance. And that was something I felt, so I'm excited about that. And so these three stages, and we've only done the first one, stage one, restricted and relearn. So that's the one we worked through. And then we've got two other stages on in May. Later in May, we're going to meet and at least do one more stage, regather and review. And that might take a little while, in terms of us working through it as a church. And then stage three, reset and revision. Are you surprised to hear that reset word? It's very popular, isn't it? We're having a reset. I'm just excited. I'm excited about Alpha that John mentioned. By the way, just to slip it in, Emmanuel's got a Zoom link, and it's at 7:30. And I can email it to anyone who's keen to join the prayers for Alpha, but we'll also put it on the Signal on Wednesday evening to join the Zoom link at 7:30 for prayer. I know, I think there were five, weren't there, who joined, Emmanuel, on Wednesday, and you're very welcome to, and it's just so exciting, really. I'm hugely excited about it. I'm also linked up with other Elim pastors, so we're hearing how other people's Alphas are going too, and we're hearing nationally what's going on, so it's just great to be part of that. And I do believe that there's a new season of fruitfulness in terms of connecting with people and sharing the gospel. And we were already doing that. We had Sunday Lunch Club and Potter's Heart before COVID. And, hopefully we'll be coming back into things like that. So we said, what things have we missed? We sat down together over Zoom and we brainstormed a bit. And we said, oh, we've missed corporate worship. Yeah, we've missed the chance to give people a hug and to lay on hands for prayer. We've missed the sense of God's Holy Spirit on us as a church and to see God moving as we're all together. And we've lost that kind of witness in public of being a church during COVID. All these things have changed. And some individuals have missed out a lot. It's lovely to see some of you here this morning who can't get onto the Zoom. And it's been difficult. And some have struggled to access the technology. You know, it's been up and down. And we've been praying, haven't we, that people would get on. And it's been tricky. We had the WhatsApp to Signal transition, which was rocky for some people. We also felt life groups haven't had the same energy on Zoom and the same kind of, you know, just enjoyable. It's enjoyable to get together, isn't it, with others? It's not the same on Zoom. So those are things that we've missed a little bit. And just to say, we've also lost, well, we had to answer the question, what have we lost or who have we lost? Praise the Lord. We haven't lost anyone within the church to COVID, which is wonderful. But of course, there have been a cost. There has been a cost nationally. There's been a cost locally. There's been a cost in some of our friends and families. There's been loss. And it's really important to talk about that and say how we feel about that. We did that series on lament. It's not just a case of saying, yeah, everything's great. We're just going back to normal. We've missed milestones, haven't we? You know, celebrating birthdays and things like that have been tricky. Martin and Martha, I don't know if you picked up, but am I allowed to say, you two, milestones-wise? So Marcy's birthday on Friday, but did anyone pick up what her birthday was? It was her 70th on Friday, so it's a big, big milestone. And they've been able to do, round of applause, and Martin as well, 70, so I know they've been able to do some celebration, but it's not been what it could have been. And all those celebrations, Ruth, with Tim's wedding, these milestones that just aren't what they should have been. Toby and Charlotte on the Zoom. Zoom wedding was quite something, wasn't it? The Zoom wedding. And today they're saying their vows. But that isn't what, you know, it's still not what they wanted. And it's sad, isn't it? It is really sad. It's painful that we lose these things. But also, what have we gained, of course? So Signal and WhatsApp's just been brilliant. All the people sharing on WhatsApp, all sorts of wonderful things that we've been sharing together. Zoom small groups, we said, they're great, aren't they? The breakout groups where you just get to talk to everyone and you get to hear from people. And hopefully we'll see that as we go back to being together. Hopefully we'll feel more able to talk to anyone in the church because of that. What else have I got here? I know they're on the Zoom today, so Greg and Anna, you know, we've been able to touch base with them again, which has just been marvellous. And Rachel and Sarah sometimes and others, it's just wonderful to be able to enjoy that fellowship. And some people have really stepped up and done lots in the church to keep us going over COVID. Greg's done lots behind the scenes. Gideon's come up to do the live stream when we started doing that. Still doing it this morning, which is wonderful. Hannes is doing the website. I don't know if you know about that, but he's been improving that. Denise, of course, has started to take on admin, which is wonderful. And loads of you are doing so much on the Signal. You know, you're just chipping in. Because I know you've got that heart for it. If someone puts something out there, someone responds to it. Do you know what I mean? Okay, rather than it being just a voice out there saying, what's going on, and not getting anything back. Because social media is a real ugly thing. That's the reality of it. Proper social media, you know, exposed social media, Facebook or whatever, it's a painful and an ugly thing out there. But that's not the case, I don't believe, within our Signal, because we're there and we're praying for each other, which is wonderful. So we've got lots to celebrate. And we said, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to know when COVID is completely over? Yeah, when all the masks are off and everything, we can all sit close together again. We can dance. We can wave around. We can have meals. So, yeah, meal. We want a church meal. Does everyone agree with that? Everyone up for that? For a church meal? When we can. And we also want to sing. Who wants to sing? Who wants to be able to sing together? Yeah, so, and clearly I do, because I was trying to do it over there. So, yeah. So it's going to be good, isn't it? But let's not get too frustrated about that. In Ecclesiastes, it says, there's a time for everything. God has a time for every purpose under heaven. And we just need to trust the Lord and hold on in all these things. Okay, so we're going to keep going with looking through that and seeing what God's got for us in the future. But there's already exciting new stuff happening, as you know. But I just want to share one more kind of value before I finish. And we are, by the way, aiming to finish by kind of like 10:02 today, 2:45. So we're in good time at the moment, which is great. And we've got time for a bit more worship, just to flag that up, and perhaps even just a little bit of sharing, I don't know. But the other thing that I wanted to share is life groups. I just wanted to say a couple of things about life groups as being something, we used to call them house groups. I can't remember when we changed them to life groups. It wasn't on Martin's timeline of the church, was it? When did we change? I'll have to go to Martin to ask that. But life group, it seems to make more sense, I suppose, than house group. They're so important. And by the way, I'm including cafe church when I talk about life groups. And prime time is slightly different because anyone could come to prime time, and life group is more of a like a family unit. You know, you go to the leader of the life group and you say, can I join life group? And we know who's coming and things like that. I've been thinking about life groups because, of course, we put Alpha on the Wednesday to link in with a live stream. And so that made us have to juggle life groups. And I just want to say thank you to everyone in the church for being so flexible with your... There is one still meeting on a Wednesday, but people have moved their life groups to different evenings. And that's good. So that's fine. And maybe they'll stay on those evenings. Maybe they'll go back after we've finished Alpha. Hopefully the next Alpha we do won't be on a Wednesday. But life groups should have a life of their own. They're not kind of controlled from leadership or anything like that. Life groups is just a chance for a few people in the church to get together and to share and to do life together and to be part of each other's family on a regular basis. I've written here that, you know, the idea of a life group is to keep growing in the faith, that you meet together and you encourage each other wherever you're at. you know, and one of the important things is to realize not everyone in your life group's at the same place as you. So not everyone will always want to do the same sort of thing. And that can be awkward. You know, you think, oh, I want to be with more like-minded people. Actually, that's not the purpose of life groups. They're not a friendship circle. You can have friendship circles, meet with friends in the church. And of course, we all want to be and love each other and be friends with each other. But that's not the purpose of life groups. Sometimes life groups to knock the edges off us, as it were, and to humble us a little bit and to put us in our place a bit. And certainly I find I get put in my place in life groups. So I want to share these have come straight from Roger's talk on local area groups, which is in the Fellowship Life. And 1 John 4:7 is, and really the whole of 1 John, but 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And that's what we're to do. We're to love each other in life groups, unconditionally. There's another verse in Philippians 4:5, which I won't turn to. Let your graciousness be known to all men. And that word in the Greek, John MacArthur says, he gives a long list of things. It means sweet reasonableness, generosity, goodwill, friendliness, magnanimity, charity towards the faults of others, mercy towards the failures of others, indulgence of the failures of others, leniency, big-heartedness, moderation, forbearance, and gentleness. Apologies if you're not familiar with some of those words, but hopefully you get the gist there, that we are to be so forgiving and so tender towards each other in life groups. Roger says that we need to have arms 100 miles long. Arms 100 miles long when we go to life group. And we all need someone to be like that for us, don't we? Yeah, and we're also called, particularly as we grow, but even as we are, to be like that for others as well. To have arms 100 miles long and say, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter that you're causing a problem, you know, or that you're getting so upset, or that we spend the whole life group talking about your problem. It doesn't matter, because that's what we're here for. Yeah, that's what life groups are about. And one of the things about life group is that just to provide a pastoral network for us as a church, because I've only got a few hours, it's my excuse, so I can't get around everyone, and the leadership can't get around everyone. They do an amazing job, but so life group leaders carry some of that burden, and in your life group you carry that burden as well, just to be there for people. Life groups should only be between 5 and 12 people. Shouldn't really be much bigger than that. I know in the past there have been as many as 20, haven't they, in some life groups, depending on the size of your lounge, really. I think that's what it was determined by. But it's important, if you're in a life group, to get there regularly. Don't just say, oh, I'm too tired, I just want a night off, unless that's a genuine problem for you. Because I think too many people do that with church, don't they? And, of course, if it's a group, you think, oh, there'll be someone else there. If you're meeting with one other person, you've got to go, haven't you? Yeah? But if you think, oh, as a group, so it's okay, there'll be someone else there. How many times when I used to lead a life group did I notice it was always the same evening? Everyone calls off and everyone says, no, not doing it tonight. And there's no life group. And that just, your heart sinks when there's no group at all, doesn't it? And do you know the solution for that? Always go. Just always go, okay, unless you really can't, you know, we all have times where we can't. And another important thing is to have a bit of variety. Like I was saying, not everyone loves doing, you know, detailed chronological Bible studies every time, you know. It's an evening, you're tired, you just want to have a chat sometimes. But you might have a whole meeting where you're praying, or you might have a whole meeting where you're ministering to others. And that's great. We need some variety. It's great to allow the Holy Spirit to lead in that, even as you get to the day, if you're confident enough. And some life groups, I know really healthy ones, they rotate the leadership or the content between different people. So different people take it on different occasions. And that can be really good too. But sometimes it's good actually on the day to say, Lord, just what's right for tonight? You know, if I'm leading that one, what's the thing we should do? And the Lord's very gracious, and he often drops into your heart what it is to do. And there's a leader in the group, obviously, who takes pastoral responsibility, but that doesn't mean to say that we don't all carry something for a life group. And I just want to close by saying that personally, When I look back, I think the deep relationships, the deep friendships and fellowship that I've got in the church haven't come from knowing people on Sunday mornings. Great as it is to be with you on a Sunday morning, but the deep relationships have come either because I've been in a life group with you in the past, or because I've done a mission trip with you, or I've done other things like worship practice during the week where we've just shared in the same way as a life group. It's in the small gatherings that really strong relationships are formed. And I just want to challenge you this morning, and obviously you can balance this out, but if you're not in a life group, get into a life group or some sort of group so that you can start to build those strong relationships that you're going to need, that we all need. Roger uses the phrase girder-like love. You know, there's these strong girders and these strong bonds between us, you know, that nothing's going to rock because we have those strong relationships with each other. And by the way, if you're fairly new to the church and you feel, oh, I just don't have these connections with people that other people have, the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus in each of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, can build those connections very, very quickly. So don't be discouraged about that. So we should not neglect meeting together on a Sunday, but also during the week, we shouldn't neglect meeting together either. Okay, I'm going to just close in prayer. And I don't know, John, whether you wanted to come up before Amy comes. Maybe that would be good. Okay, you're happy for Amy to carry on and then we see where we go from there. But let me just pray. Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us as a church. Lord, we're still here. We're still standing, Lord. In fact, if you can stand, it would be really good to stand while I'm praying, just to kind of, we're still standing, Lord. We just want to give you the glory for that, Lord. Thank you that you've brought us through. We want to celebrate, Lord, and acknowledge that you have brought us through. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that this is actually a powerful moment, Lord, where we're moving towards coming out of lockdown, Lord. And I just want to pray a blessing on the church now, Father. Whether they're on Zoom, Lord, or whether they're here, Father, I want to pray a blessing on each of us, Lord. Strengthen us in our fellowship, Lord. Strengthen us in our walk with you, Lord Jesus. You are our vision. You are the one we look to, Father. But we need each other. And so I pray for a blessing on all the friendships, all the connections, all the groups, Lord, that exist within the church, Father. And I just want to ask you to pour the oil of your Holy Spirit in. Lord, teach us what it means, Lord, to be brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that the world would look and say, look how they love one another. See how they love one another. Father, we need your grace. We need your mercy every day. I want to pray particularly for life group leaders and for all those who lead groups. And I want to pray for an encouragement and a strengthening for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that each of us today, Lord, as we go into worship, Lord, and whatever else we do now, would leave here encouraged, heads held high, strengthened in our most holy faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.